Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Today's daf is daf Chav Gimel. So just to review quickly outside what we learned at the end of our learning yesterday, the Gemara had contrasted David HaMelech with Shaul HaMelech. David HaMelech had multiple sins. He seems to get away with it, or he continues as king despite failures. And yet Shaul already loses the kingdom once he commits the sin of leaving Agag alive. So the Gemara says, why was it that Shaul was punished so severely? Why did Shaul commit this sin? It's because he didn't begin his rule in the right way. When he was first appointed as king, there were people who were disrespectful. There were people who spoke negatively to him and about him and mistreated him. And he just let it all go. And that showed a certain lack of respect for the position, certainly a lack of respect for the Torah that he had. Because we know that really a Torah scholar, the Gemara says strange things. It says a Torah scholar who's offended should be vindictive, he should take revenge, he should bear a grudge, like a snake. And that's a sign that he really cares about the Torah that he has. He's upset when people mistreat him because the mistreating of him is really insulting the Torah that he has. So the Gemara says in the top here of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, and so Shaul, by allowing his honor to be trampled on, so Shaul, he showed he didn't really value the honor that he was supposed to get. So he didn't honor the kingdom. He didn't honor the fact that he's a Torah scholar. So that's why he lost it. It was started on the wrong foundation. He wasn't a leader. So the Gemara asks, I don't understand. How can you say that a Torah scholar should take revenge, should bear grudges? But doesn't the verse say, lo sikom v'lo sitor, don't take revenge, don't bear a grudge? Says the Gemara, ahu b'mamon hu d'chsiv. That's only referring to money. So if somebody doesn't do you a favor financially, you shouldn't take revenge and not do a favor to him. But in terms of being offended, if somebody offends you, as a human being, as a Torah scholar, you should be upset for the Torah within you that was being hurt, that wasn't being respected. The Tanya Zulintin of Bryson here in the third line of Chakimla Med Aleph, Ezuhi Nakima, what is revenge? Ezuhi Natira, what is bearing a grudge that are prohibited? Nekima, revenge, is Amarlo Ashilini Magelcha. One neighbor tells his friend, lend me your sickle. Amarlo, the friend says, lo, I'm not going to do it. Amarcha, the next day, Amarlo, that friend who refused to lend the sickle, Amarlo, says to the first guy, Ashilini Kardumcha, lend me your axe. Amarlo, he says, Eini Mashilcha Kederech Loi Shaltani. He tells him, I'm not doing it because the same way you didn't do it. You didn't lend to me, I'm not going to lend to you. So, Nekima, that's revenge. The Torah says, lo, sikom, don't take revenge. Ezu in the Tira, what's bearing a grudge? Amalei Ashileni Kardumcha, neighbor says, lend me your axe. Amalei says to him, lo, I'm not doing it. Lamacha, the next day, Amalei tells him, Ashileni Chalukcha, lend me your robe. Amalei says, hey, look, here it is right away, because Eini Kamoscha, I'm not like you. Shloi Shaltani, you wouldn't lend to me, but I'll lend to you. So in the Tira, that's showing that he's bearing a grudge. He remembers that the other guy didn't do it, and he puts it into the other guy's face. Okay, that's about money, it's about stuff. But here we're talking about being offended, where they're disrespecting the king. It's personal offense. Personal offense is different. So Gemara says, is that really true? It's our degufalo. Is it true that when it comes to personal hurt, there's no prohibition of revenge, and Shaul should have taken revenge, should have been upset, should have demanded the honor of the Torah? But Tanya, but didn't we learn a brisa? Hane alavim ve'inan alavim, those who get offended, but they don't offend back. Shomin cher pasan, those who hear their shame. Ve'inan meshivim, but don't respond. Osin me'ava, these are people who are serving God out of love. Smechim b'yisurin, they embrace, they're thankful, they're happy for sufferings. Alehena kosav omer, about them the verse says, vo'avav, and those who love God. I like the sun coming out in all of its glory. Answer the Gemara. Ba'olam tenakit le belibe. So it's certainly true that it's good to just let it all go. But that's in terms of what you do. A Torah scholar should let it all go. He shouldn't say anything. But he should have allowed other people to avenge his honor, because in his heart he should have been hurt that the Torah that he represents was being insulted. Rashi says, "Nakit lebelibe im ba'achel inkom nikmaso b'kim ha'mishpat yishtok." Somebody else comes to avenge his vengeance by carrying out what should be done by right, he should be quiet, because that's the right thing. Asks the Gemara, but even that, is that so? V'amar Rava, but didn't Rava say, kol ha'mavir al-midos ha'mavir lo kol shav? Anyone who overlooks what is his rightful due, and he just lets it go, and he forgives, all of his sins are also overlooked. So the Gemara says, that means the mefaisule. If the offender were to apologize and try to mollify him, umefayis, he should accept the apology. He should be mollified. But that's only if he apologizes. But if he doesn't apologize, then nakit lebelibe, then the Torah scholar is allowed to hold a certain feeling of hurt in his heart. And when the other people take revenge on his behalf, so it's legitimate. He can be happy that they fought for the honor of the Torah that he represents. Yeah, question. Right, I think it's only because of the disrespect. That's what the Beis Yosef says. It's because of the disrespect to the Torah.
Okay, that's okay.
For the Torah,
that's an issue.
To teach a lesson
to
the people.
Sure.
Okay.
That's the lesson
of the Torah. Yeah. It also could be that there are different types of offense, right? It could be an offense that's personal. So that maybe the Torah scholar should be Mavir al Midosav and let it all go and not care. Right, but sometimes there is offense to the leadership that the Torah scholar is trying to guide. You know, let's say you have a Rosh Yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva gets up in the yeshiva and he says, you know, in our yeshiva, we don't go to Kivrei Tzadikim, we learn Torah. So any boy who wants to go to Kivrei Tzadikim for a yahrzeit, a hilulah, he should just sit and learn. That's our yeshiva. And some boy puts up a sign, I'm arranging hasa'ah to the Kivrei Tzadikim. So it's not just a personal offense, it's attacking the hanhaga, it's attacking the leadership. And, you know, leadership can't tolerate being undercut, because if you don't, if the yeshiva students don't listen to the Rosh Yeshiva, if the Rosh Yeshiva says a rule and then it's a joke, that's anarchy. You know, so Shaul HaMelech, he's the king, you know, as a king, and he's taking the people to war, you have to listen to the general. You can't have anarchy. Ishkalei Ashar Bei Navias, every 13-year-old knows better than Rosh Yeshiva. When the 13-year-old has his own yeshiva, he can take the boys to the Kever Tzadikim. But when you're in the Rosh Yeshiva's yeshiva, you have to follow the Rosh Yeshiva. So I think there could be an element where the leaders, the Talmidei Chachamim, or the leaders, right, attacks on leadership have to be put down. The leader has to Tabara Chav Lador. There can only be one leader for the generation. Right? You can't have a situation of each one doing Ishkol Yashar Bei Nav Yaseh. Then you have anarchy. Shvot HaShoftim. So maybe that's an element here, that a Talmud Chacham who's in a leadership position, when the leadership is being attacked, has to be no king v'noter kenachash. He has to be vindictive, he has to be vengeful, he has to stand up for the leadership, this is the way it has to be. There's no other way. Maybe. I don't know, but again, it's an interesting Gemara. The Poskim talk about this a lot, about when Talmud Chacham's allowed to be upset, when not, when can he take revenge, when not. Okay, going back to the Mishnah said that originally the sages thought that Trumas HaDeshen was not going to be considered an exciting service. Number one, it happens at night. It would be viewed as a night service. Number two, people have to wake up for it. Nobody wants to wake up. So they decide anybody who gets there first, he'll get to do it. Then when there'd be two people who wanted to do it, let them race. But then sometimes they both raced and got there at the same time. So if they both get there at the same time, the mimuneh, the one in charge, would say, all right, now let's do a lottery. Everybody do a pius, do something which mollifies everybody. Everybody put out a finger. The three of you that got here at the same time, or the two of you put out your fingers. Each one puts out his first finger, his index finger. And the mimuneh chooses a number randomly that's way in excess of two. Let's see, he says 25. And he goes count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Until he gets to 25, you're the one who got it. So the Mishnah said, Umayin motzin, what do the Kohanim put out? Achas or shtayim. They can put out one finger or two fingers. Ask the Gemara, Hashta shtayim motzin, if they can put out two fingers, achas mi bayas, they can put out one finger. So Rav Chizda explained, lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. If somebody is healthy, the coin is healthy, he can put out one finger and have it out for a while. And he does. Kan b'chola, the Mishnah says two fingers, it's someone who's not healthy, can't put out just one finger and hold it out. He needs two fingers to be able to support that finger. Ask the Gemara, v'atayim, if you don't learn a b'raisa, achas motzin, shtayim ein motzin. V'atayim, as we learned in a b'raisa which supports this, the Braisa says, again, Vatani, as we learned in the Braisa, Achas Motzin, you spoke, the Kohanim put out one finger, Shtayim Ein Motzin, they shouldn't put out two fingers, but Mentvar Mur Bebari, that's true about the Kohen who's healthy. Avol Bechola, but if the Kohen is sick, Afilu Shtayim Motzin, he can even put out two fingers. Vayechidin, and the Kohanim who are so sick that they sit alone by themselves, Motzin, Shtayim, they put out two fingers. However, Vein Mon Lehen Ela Achas. But when even the Kohen who's sick, so he has to put out a second finger to support one finger, it gets counted as one. Those two fingers are counted as one. Ask the Gemara, is that really true? The two fingers only counted as one. But what about the following Braisa? This Braisa says, "Ein motzi'in lo shalish." They don't put out the middle finger. Lo gudal, and not the thumb. Yipnei aramayim, because of people who are deceptive. If you put out fingers like this, it could be counted as two. Fingers like this, it could be counted as two. V'im hotzi shalish, but if they put out the third finger, mon and lo, that will be counted for him. Gudal, the thumb, ain mon and lo, that won't be counted for him. Lo, and not only if he puts out a thumb plus the index finger, is the thumb not counted? Ela shaloka min amamuda bipakia, that he gets hit by the person in charge with a whip. A slit whip.
And if you don't go like this, it's probably even worse, no?
Right. So my mon and lo nami. So the Gemara said, no, that's not a question. We said that if he puts out the middle finger, it gets counted. It doesn't mean it gets counted twice. Achas, it only gets counted once. But the bottom line is, two fingers can go out. If he's sick, he needs a second finger to support the first, but it gets counted as one finger. Can't be too sick. A little sick. Not badly sick. Can't be too sick. Right, enough to do some of over, right? Ask the Gemara, my pakia, what was this whip called the pakia? Amarav Madra. My Madara, what's the Madara? Amarav Papa, Makatra Detaya. It's the whip of the Arab merchants. The Pasuk Reshe, whose head is slit up into slits, into little strips. And that's the whip that they use to hit their horses, to get their horses to run. So this whip slid into the strips. That's the whip that they used to hit the person who's trying to be dishonest with. Yeah, it's powerful. Amar Abaye, now that we've learned that pakia refers to a whip with a head that's slit into strips, Amar Abaye said, Meresh Abamin, originally I used to think, oh, it's not this that we learned back in the Sechet Shkolim. Ben Bibai, Mamun ala pakia, Ben Bibai was in charge of the slitting. I mean, I would have thought Psilta, he's in charge of the slicing up of the garments of Kahuna once they're worn through to be used as wicks. Kedetan is written in the Mishnah, Yibloi Michnasei HaKohanim Me'amnehen, from the worn out pants of Kohanim. Mehen Hayu Mafkiyin, they used to slit up those pants. Mehen Hayu Madlikin, they used to light the lamps in the Beit HaMikdash with those wicks. came in the Shemana Lahadatani, but now they're willing to this Braisa, Lo Odolish Lokam and Amamuna Pipakia, that if somebody tries to, a Kohen tries to, you know, gain advantage in the lottery by putting out a thumb and an index finger, not only does he not get counted as twice, but rather he gets hit with the whip. I mean, am I Pakia? Then I said, okay, what is this Ben Bibai? Ben Bibai was the Nagda. He was the guy who was hitting Kohanim. The Kohanim who got hit in the Beis HaMikdash for a variety of reasons. Obviously, the Kohen who tries to warp a pious gets hit. But also, if you have a guard, a Kohen who's a guard and he falls asleep, they would light his clothing on fire. So the person who would be doing this is Ben Bibai. That's the Mishnah in Shkalim. So the Mishnah said, originally, the privilege of Trumas Hadeshen was left open because anyone who would want it would get it because no one really wanted to do it. And then when there was people who wanted it, there would be a race. And one time there was a race and somebody pushed his friend and the friend fell off of the ramp and broke his leg. So the sages saw that this was getting to be dangerous and then they said, okay, now on, no more... Right, now order, now rules... Only with a lottery.
Isn't Trumas Hadeshen done in the morning?
Yes.
Oh, I think so before it's done.
Well, it could be at night. It could be midnight. It could be even 10 p.m. sometimes. It could be at night.
How can it be this soon? That has to do with really what happened in Yom. That's sad.
It's very, very tragic.
Because it's exactly...
Yeah. Hey, the pain is tremendous, tremendous pain. Tremendous pain. Taner Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a Braisa. Ma'isa b'shnei kohanim, shayu shneim shavim. There was a story once of two kohanim. They were both equal. V'ratzin v'olim b'kevesh. And they were running up the ramp to try to be the first to get there, to take ash off. Kadam echad men l'toch arba amos shel chavera. One got ahead of his friend, and he got into the four amos before his friend. The friend was so upset, not al sak, and he took the knife, the tukalo belibo, and he stabbed it into his friend's heart. Amad Rabbi Tzadok kalmaila sa'ulam. Rabbi Tzadok stood on the steps of one of the chambers. Rashi says there were many chambers in the Beit HaMikdash. He stood on one of the steps. And he said, Achenu Beis Yisrael, our brethren, the children of Israel, Shimu, listen up. Hareyu Omer, the verse says, Ki imatze chalal ba'adama. If there is a dead body found on the earth, and you don't know where he's from, and you don't know, you know, who killed him, v'yatzus keinecha v'shoftecha, and your elders and your judges are to go out, and they're to say, Yadeinu lo shafu sadam hazeh, ve'ineinu lo ra'u. Our hands didn't spill this blood. Our eyes didn't ignore this person. And take a calf and chop off its head in the riverbed, the Egla Rufa. So Anu, us, Almi, Lahavi, Egla Rufa. Who's going to bring the Egla Rufa for this killed Kohen? Aloir, should it be the city? Yerushalayim, all Azaros, so all the different courtyards of the Beis HaMikdash. Go kala'am divchia. All the people started screaming and wailing. They were so upset. Look at what we have, the crime. The crime of killing in the Beis HaMikdash. And we don't even have the ability to bring an Egla Rufa. Ba'avir Shaltinok. This is how warped priorities were. The father of this young Kohen came. The Gemara calls him a baby. Obviously, not a baby, he's a Kohen, but the father of the young Kohen came. Umitso Kishuma Firepair, and he found that he was still rustling. He wasn't dead yet, he was still moving. Amar, he said, Areyu Kaparaschem, he's going to die. His death will be your atonement, he'll be your kapara. Vadai Benima Firepair, since my son is still rustling, he's still moving. Lonitma Sakin, good, Baruch Hashem. The knife hasn't become tameh. Let's get the knife out so it doesn't become tameh. It doesn't touch a dead person. Well, Ametcha, this teaches you how warped things were there. Shakash aleim taras kalim. They'd be more upset if a utensil became tameh. Yosem mishvichos damim. More than spilling the blood of another person. And this wasn't just Bayis Sheni, it was the end of Bayis Sheni. Rabbi Tzadok, of course, was at the very end of the Second Temple. One of the requests of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai of the Romans was for a doctor to heal Rabbi Tzadok, who fasted for 40 years to try to ward off the loss of the Second Temple. The verse also says about the First Temple, the Gamdam Naki Shafach Menashe Harbi Ma'od. King Menashe, who was the king after King Chizkiyahu, he spilled a lot of innocent blood. Adasher Mileit Yerushalayim Pelapeh, till he filled Yerushalayim from entrance to entrance. Ask the Gemara, this terrible story of murder in the Beis Hamikdash, Hai Maisa Kadim, which story happened first? Ilema Deshvichos Damim, if the first story was the story of the murder, Hashtash Vichos Damim Lotkinu Paisa, there had been a murder in Beis HaMikdash because of running to the top of the Mizbeach. And for that, they didn't institute that we should only do it with a lottery. And Nishbar Raglot Kina. So for the fact that his foot was broken, that's the reason to make this Takana. Ella must be the Nishbar Raglo Kadim. First, he had the story of the foot being broken. Kivan Tkinu Paisa. So once they already, the foot was broken and they instituted a lottery. So Arba Amas Maya Viditayu. So then, if they had already made the lottery, well, why was there this problem of a coin who ran in, he got to the four amos before the other coin stabbed him? You're right. Alola must be that the brisa happened before the Mishnah. The shvichus damim kadim, the story of the murder, happened earlier. So why didn't they institute no more running, no more competition? May cover savor akroi ba'almahu. Initially they thought, this just happened once. It happened to me. Came in the Chazi, once they saw that Afilu Memela, even without people trying, it wasn't that there was bad activity. It was just a race, and then the race, one pushed the other, and the other one ended up falling and breaking his leg. They're getting to danger. Then the rabbis enacted no more running, no more racing, a lottery, and that'll choose who gets to do the Truma Sadasha. All right, going back to this Braisa. Similar story to the story of our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, yeah. This is following the view that it was not given to the Shvatim. So now says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Tzad, right? Going back to the story of this Braisa where there was murder in the Beis Hamikdash, Amar Rabbi Tzadok, Al Milo Sa'ulam, Rabbi Tzadok stood on the steps of one of the chambers of the Beit Hamikdash. Amar, he said, Achinu Beis Yisrael, our brethren, the children of Israel. Shimu, listen. Ariyoma, doesn't the verse say, Akimatze Chalal Ba'adama, when a dead body will be found on the earth, and I'm going to give to you Lirishta to inherit. Anan, but we, Almi Lahavi, who has the obligation to bring the Egla Arufa here for the dead individual? Alair or Alazaros? Would it be the city or the courtyards? Says the Gemara, what do you mean the city? Yushalayim Basasuya Egla Arufa, he is Yushalayim. A group, a place that has to bring an Egla Arufa. Tanya, but didn't we learn in a Braisa? There were 10 things said about Yerushalayim. Zu'achasman, one of the laws of Yerushalayim. This is in Meruba, in the 7th chapter of Masechet Bava Kama. Einam of Egla Arufa. Yerushalayim doesn't bring an Egla Arufa. The pasuk says, Ki yimatzei chalal ba'adam asher Hashem elokecha nosen l'chal rishta. When a dead body will be found in the land that Hashem your God is giving to you to inherit. Yerushalayim was not divided up amongst the tribes. It was never inherited. It belongs to the whole nation. And furthermore, the pasuk says about the Egla Arufa lo noda mihi koksiv. They don't know who killed the person, so therefore the sages have to come, chop off the head of the calf and gain atonement. In this case, we know who killed him. The Kohen who ran up to the top of the Mizbeach, he's the one who killed. You're right. Of course there's no Egla Arufa. This is to make people cry even more, as the Maharsha explains. Rabbi Tzadok was saying, if there's a dead body, we don't know what happened and how he died and who killed him. At least there's a kapara, there's an atonement, there's an egla rufa. But here, we know who killed, and we know where, and we know the person. And there isn't even egla rufa. There's no egla rufa because Yerushalayim is not Lirishta, can't give an egla rufa. And that's exceedingly painful, exceedingly difficult. But Aviv Shaltinok, going back to the Braisa, the father This young man came, Umitzok Shuma Fireper. He found him. He was rustling. He wasn't dead yet. Amar, he said these crazy things. Areu Kaparaschem, he's your atonement. Adayin B'ni Kaya, my son is still alive. Let's get the knife out. Lamedcha to teach you. Shekash Alam Taras Kalim. That in their warped view, that a knife should stay pure, that a knife not become tame, was a bigger deal. Yotam Yishvichas Tam, that was a bigger deal than spilling somebody else's blood. Ibailu had a question in the yeshiva. Shvichas Tam hu dazal. Was it that for some reason they didn't respect murder? Thought murder wasn't a big deal? But they were treating the vessels and the need to keep the holy vessels pure the way they always were treated, like from the times of the Torah, the right way. The spilling of the blood was in the right way. They always knew that murder was wrong, but they had some warped and exaggerated view of how important it was to keep utensils tahar. Tashma, coming here, improvement. Since the Gemara says that the source for this was that this is behavior that had been going on since the end of Bayis Rishon, the Gam Dam Naki Shafach Menashe, and a lot of innocent blood Menashe spilled in the end of Bayis Rishon. Shema, now you see from here, Shvichas Dam Hudazal. It's that they were not respectful and they didn't treat with the right regard and right respect spilling blood. In terms of holy vessels staying pure, that was the way it always was. That was fine. But they stopped treating, you know, the concern of murder with the way they should be treated. All right, so that completes that story. Now going on to some halachos. Yeah, question, please. It's a machlokas, right? According to this view, on his chalkal shvatim, right? So we know that there's Trumas HaDeshen. Trumas HaDeshen is where the Kohen goes up to the top of the Mizbeach. He takes some worn through coals that have been really burned through, pieces of Karbanos that are now really mamish of coal burned through. Takes it off. How much does he have to take? Not so much. He takes like a fistful. That's the minimum. The same as the Kemitza for a Mincha. Brings it to the side of the Mizbeach, dumps it on the floor, and the floor absorbs it. But meanwhile, there's a lot of ash on the Mizbeach, and it keeps growing because all the karbanos become ash as they're burned in the fire. So to remove the ash, it was a second service. That's called Hotzas HaDeshen. Not this Kohen. A lot of other Kohanim would go up. And they would go up with magrefos, with rakes, and they would rake the ashes, some into the tapuach, some into the pile, and a big amount into the psachtar, this big utensil. They would carry a letech. And then they would, the letech is 30 kor, and then they would carry it out of the city and dump it in the dump. So, Tanur Rabbanan lived in a braisa, that's called Hotzas HaDeshen, the removal of the ash. There's the lifting up of the ash, Trumas HaDeshen, and there's Hotzas HaDeshen. Until now we were talking about Trumas HaDeshen. Now we move to talk about Hotzas HaDeshen. The verse says, Ufashat, read the whole pasuk, Ufashat is begadav, lavash begadim acherim, take off his garments, wear other garments, and take the ash outside of the camp. So it says, Ufashat, he'll take off his garments and then wear new garments. Does that mean it's like what the Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippur? Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, between inner service and outer service, he takes off gold garments, he puts on all white garments. So here he takes off garments. We're talking about a regular Kohen. He doesn't have two sets of garments. He has to take off the holy garments. Maybe wear secular garments for Hotzas HaDeshen. That's what the verse says it in the same pasuk. Take off his garments and wear new garments. That's comparing the garments that he's wearing to the garments that he's taking off. Malahalan Big Day Kodesh, just like he takes off holy garments. Afkan, so he wears Big Day Kodesh, holy garments. Imkain, if so, Matamul Lomar Acherim. So what does it mean that they are different garments if they're still holy garments? The answer is Pchusin Mehem. They are lesser garments. They're worn out garments, garments that are already dirty. So he wears dirty garments or worn out threadbare garments to take the ash out of the city. Rabbi Elazar says, when it says, Ufashit es begadav lavash begadim achayim vahotzi, you take the word achayim and you put it next to the word vahotzi. Achayim vahotzi. Others are the ones who take it out. Even al kohanim banim mumim, that's teaching you that a kohen who's blemished, even though he can't do the service of karbanos, k'sheirim lahotzi adeshin, he is kosher to take the ash out of the city. All right, Amar learned before in this braisa. Tanakama holds achayim means p'chusim mehen, that the Kohanim would change into more threadbare and worn and dirty garments to take the ash out. That's the Tanakama's view of the word Acherim. Lavash begadim Acherim. That's going to tell the Rabbi Yishmael that the logic for that is like the brisa that was taught in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael. The Tana de Rabbi Yishmael was taught in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael. Begadim shebisha ben kedera l'rabo, l'yimzik ben kos l'rabo. The garments that a chef wears to cook a pot for his teacher. So there's all sorts of spills and stains from those garments. Those shouldn't be the garments that he goes out into the formal dinner and he dilutes the wine for his teacher while wearing these dirty garments. That's not respectful. When you have dirty garments, you shouldn't be wearing them when you do the actual service. Amar Shlakish said, Kemachlokas behotza'a, the same argument that we had here, whether a Baal Mum can take the ashes out. Kach machlokas baharama. That argument also exists in regards to Truma Sadeshin. Could a Baal Mum do the Truma Sadeshin? And Rabbi Yochanan Amar no, machlokas bahotza. There's an argument about Hotza Sadeshin, whether a Baal Mum can take it out, or a Baal Mum can't take it out, but when it's taken out, it should be done with worn clothing. Of a baharama, with regards to Truma Sadeshin, divrei hakol avodi, everybody agrees it's an avoda. And therefore, even according to Rabbi Elazar, a Baal Mum could not do Truma Sadeshin. I time with Rish Lakish. What's the reasoning of Rish Lakish who holds that according to Rabbi Elazar, a Baal Mum can do Truma Sadeshin? I'm going to tell you like this. If you think that Truma Sadeshin is a service, is there such a thing as a service that you don't need to wear all four garments? The Torah only says about the Truma Sadeshin that the Kohen is going to wear his shirt and his pants. So what type of a service is kosher with only two garments? And Rabbi Yochanan will tell you that don't take that pasuk so literally. Right, the pasuk is v'lavash hakohen mido vad michnasei vad yobash al b'saro ve'erim es hadeshen asher tochal eish tzolah ha'mizbeach v'samo eitzel ha'mizbeach. Rabbi Yochanan will tell you no. That pasuk, even though it only mentions v'lavash hakohen mido vad michnasei vad yobash al b'saro, it only mentions that he'll wear his garment of linen and his pants of linen. Gali rachmanu b'ksonas michnasayim. The Torah is revealing that he has to wear the pants and the shirt. But Ruah Dilim it's Nefes Va'avnei. He has to wear also the hat and the belt. So why did it only mention these two? What do we learn from this? If you have to wear all of them, we'll just say the Kohen does the service and we'll figure it out. He has to wear garments. As the Gemara, Mido Va'ad, it said the shirt is his measure. Mido Kimi Dasal, that's telling you that the shirt the Kohen wears has to fit him. It can't be too long, it can't be too short. Michnasei Vad, and the fact that the Torah said, Michnasei Vad Yubash Al Basaro, let's look at a Tanya. That was to teach another halacha. How do we know that you don't put on anything until you put on the pants? First the pants. Shenemar, because it says, "Umichnasei vad yobash al basaro," and the pants of linen he'll wear on his flesh. That's the first thing that goes on. Rish Lakish, how does he know these halachos? He'll tell you not. That's not why they were mentioned. They were mentioned because really he only has to wear a shirt and pants for Truma Sadeshin. But the fact that it said mido, right? It didn't say ksones bad, a shirt. It said mido, his measure. Kimidaso, that it has to fit him. Mido kimidaso, that mido that has to fit him. That's mido after achmana b'lashon mido. That's the fact that Torah used the term mido, his measure. Could have just said ksones. And shlo yedavar kodum michnasayim, and that he shouldn't put on anything before the pants. Al basaro nafka, that he learns from the fact that it says al basaro. As the Gemara Neima Kitanoi, maybe this argument is already a machlokas Tanoim, the argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, whether Hotzah Sadeshen is an avoda or not. Maybe that's a machlokas Tanoim. The pasuk says, "V'lava shakoy mido vad umichnasei vad yobash al basaro." It could have just said, "Umichnasei vad al basaro." Why does it say Michnasei Vad? Yilbash al Basaro. Lahavi mitznefes v'avnit laharama. But for the Truma Sadeshin, He has to be wearing also the hat and the belt. Well, the word Yilbash. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. And Rabbi Yehuda says no. In fact, it says Yilbash. It's to teach something else. The rabbis, big day, Kohen Gadol, Yom HaKippurim. That the garments that a Kohen Gadol might wear on Yom Kippur, Ksherin LeKohen Hedjot. Those four garments that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur, a regular Kohen can wear. Yom HaKippurim, also it says, Big day, Ksonas Bad Kodesh Yilbash. And here it says, Amichnes Seivad Yilbash Al Basara. So the linkage of Yilbash, Yilbash, is to say that the garments of the Kohen Gadol can be worn by a Kohen Hedjot. The Kohen Gadol can't use the same garments from one year to the next, but another Kohen could use these garments. Amar Rebbe, Rebbe said, Shtei Tshuvas V'davar. There are two problems with what Rabbi Dosa said, that from the word Yilbash we learn that the garments that the Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippur can then be worn by a regular Kohen Hedjot. First, Rochadad Avnetu Shul Kohen Gadol Lo Zeu Avnetu Shul Kohen Hedjot. The Kohen Gadol's belt on Yom Kippur was linen, whereas the Kohen Hedjot's belt was kilayim. But in third of the more, it was linen with wool. Furthermore, Begadim Shenishtamish Ben Ketusha Chamura. How could it be that garments that were used for the innermost holiness, for going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Tishtamish Ben Ketusha Kala, now they're going to be used for a lowly holiness, the Avoda, and the courtyards. Ella, therefore, Matam Loma Yilbash. Therefore, Rabbi says, what do we learn from the word Yilbash? The Rabbi says, Shachakim. To include garments that are worn out. Even garments that are worn out are kosher to be used for the Avoda. All right, going back to, you know, this question of the garments of the Kohen Gadol. When it says about on Yom Kippur, Pasha this big day Abadah Shalavash Bevola Kodesh V'nichem Shan, I'll take off the linen garments and leave them there. That means they have to be left there. No one else can wear them. They have to be put into storage. Rabbi Dosa says, no. We in the coin hedge, a regular coin can also wear them. So what do we learn from this that it says, and he'll leave them there? That they shouldn't be used. He can't use them on another Yom Kippur. So my last, presumably now going back to the issues of Chumas HaDeshen. This is the argument. One holds the Chumas HaDeshen is an avoda. So from the word Yilbash, he learns that he has to wear not only the two garments, but also the hat and the belt. Omar Savan, the other one holds Lav Avoda. It's not an avoda. He doesn't have to wear four garments. Therefore, Yilbash is extra to teach me that the garments that the Kohen Gadol wears on Yom Kippur can be worn by a Kohen Hedjot. So the Gemara, lo, that's not the case. So Lekuli Alma Avoda, but maybe everybody agrees that Chumas HaDeshen is an avoda. But here there's a different argument. One says, I need the word Yilbash to teach me that he has to wear the four garments during Chumas HaDeshen. One holds that even without this pasuk of Yilbash, I would know on my own that it's an avoda and he has to wear the full four garments when he does the Chumas HaDeshen.